Okay, and today we're on Daf Lamed Daled, and we got up to the Mishnah just in time for Sava Drasha's introduction.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Shlosha Devarim, Tzarich Adam Lomar B'Toch B'Toyer of Shabbat Im Chashecha. As it's about to become now Bein HaShemashot, the person should make sure about three things. He should say, in a lashon of question, Yisartem, haven't you taken off Maaser yet? Because after all, once it's already Shabbat, you're not allowed to take off Maaser. And if it reminds them earlier in the day before Chashecha, it's likely that they'll just put it off, and that way forget it. So best at the time, not early. Eruvtem, have you made an Eruv yet? And we'll see what we're talking about. This could be referring to the Eruv Tumim or the Eruv Chatzerot. And he should also say, not as a question, but as the time has arrived for Hadliku et Hanir, time to light the Nero of Shabbat. Safek Chashecha, Safek Eno Chashecha. If now you have doubt, it's now Ben Ashmashot, and you're not sure at this point whether it's dark or whether it's still daytime. In Maaserin Tavadai, you don't take off Maaser from Pelot Vadai, even though this is only a Gezeirah Drabonah, because it's similar to Tikkun Maneh. So it's like you're making something that wasn't good, and that's a general klal that comes under the mark of the Pater, Shabbonah, and so on, as we'll see later on. So it appears from here that this Tana holds that we do have Gezeirah of Shvut Ben Hashmashot. We mentioned earlier that there was a Shita holds that there is no Shvut Ben Hashmashot. Here the Tana is asering, taking off definite tevel, the inmad bilinat hakelim, and you cannot take a kli and be tovel it. Now, again, what exactly is this referring to? If it's referring to a tefillah that we do for buying a kli from a nochri, then that would mean that we have a shvut on a shvut, basically. I mean, the idea of tefillah kelim, but it could be talking about kelim that are unusable for truma because they're tamei diuraita. So we have a shvut on something which has a status midiraita. This we'll talk about when we get to the Gemara, because there it's clear that the Mishnah does not hold that every shvut is asur, as we'll see. So eimad binat hakelim, eimad likin atamerot, nor can you light candles, which seems a little bit silly to say. I mean, if you can't even do suffocation drabbanan, poshetain, you can't light the candles. Which causes some of the Mefarshei HaMishnah to explain that you can't light the candles means you can't light the candles through Amir La'akma. Because obviously you can't light the candles yourself. The question is whether, in order to have the Shalom Bayit advantage of Shabbat, did we also answer Amir La'akma, which is itself a shvut, Bein Hashmashot, the Tzorek Shabbat? And this really seems to be taking it a long, long way, that we're not going to allow you to tell a goy to light the candles because it's already Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laimah. The truth is that we don't pass him like that. There's a Shulchan Aruch pass him that Amir La'akum for this Tzorek is mutter. However, you can see why we would certainly be led to the Mishnah to suggest that Madlikin Atanirot, not as Rashi explains, means literally, because it's obvious. Then you'd have to say, Zu Ve'in Tzorek Lomazu, that that's the construction of the Mishnah, which we're reluctant to say if we don't have to. Aval, Ma'asirat HaDumai, you can take off Ma'asir from Dumai, which means that those things which don't really have a Dioraita Makor, as we say, Dumai is just sort of a, you know, as I said earlier, it's a Xer, I mean, after all, Rova Me'ar, it's Ma'asirat. We don't really have a suffix. So it's a Durabonin that pretends that it's a suffix, so that much we're not going to be marking. But then the question is, I mean, if that's the case, the next piece, Ma'arvi. Obviously, a moment ago you said you have to make sure you did the Erev before. Now you're saying you could do the Erev afterwards, and it's also a problem. So we're going to have to be machalic what type of Erev, obviously. Otherwise, the mission is contradictory. And then that leads to the question, so what do we do about the Tfilat Kelim? Is Tfilat Kelim more of a takana based on something than Demai? Or... Well, that was the shot, I guess. Right. We have the extremes here. Some people who sort of sneak in quietly when they come late. There's other people.
All of
it. Richie, I was perfect.
Richie,
I was saying, so we have to figure out which Tfilat Kelim is parallel to which Eruv. Okay, well, we'll see when we get to the Gemara how to do that. V'tolmim et hachamim, and you would also be allowed to take something which is hot from before, from during the day, and now put it under something which insulates it to keep it warm. Ask the Gemara Minan Emile, where do we see that there's a remez, that this is a chiyuv on a person to be Mekayim Erev Shabbos? Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omer Kro, V'yadata ki shalom ahalecha, a shalom ahalecha as a reference to shalom bayit. Shalom bayit, we said Ner Shabbat, shalom bayit. Ufakarta navecha, navecha means your home. That's your Malkum Shemitah, which is the meaning of an Erev. And then, v'lo techeta, and that's the lotisa alav chet, on the din of Tevel. So that you have now those three in Yonim, our Merum is viadata. Make sure that that's the case. You know, people get rather hung up on religious requirements. Rabbanan said, make sure you say this. So you think that that means, okay, here's the rules. Actually, you have to say it nicely. I mean, the point over here is that you shouldn't come across as critical, but rather as making a suggestion, which then people will follow up on. Rav Ashi said, you know what? I didn't even hear what Rabbi Baravuna, but you know, I managed to figure it out myself. I fucked it up myself. It's a good idea to say it nicely. Now, the mission doesn't make sense. First you say, so it's im chashecha means right as it's about to be the time of chashecha. Which means that if you have a safek chashecha, the safek in chashecha, it's already too late. Make sure that it's done while you still have a few moments left in the day, right? And then you go right ahead and you say, in the end, you say, Safik Chashikha, Safik Enem Chashikha, you could still make an Erev. So then, I understand, so why are you telling me I have to make sure the Erev is made still in the daytime? Omar Rabab, Amr Rafiya Barashi, Amr Rav, clearly the Mishnah is talking about two different cases of Eruv, and Lokasha, Kan Be'eruv Techumim, where you're talking about an Erev Techumim. Now, an Erev Techumim is actually much more chamur. Because it's based on, if not a dioraita, I mean there is a machloket, whether it's chumim or dioraita, and whether the shiur that we have, the 2000, is an extension of the 12 nil dioraita, which is based on the machan and the midbar, in which case there's a real extension of a true halakha, or whether bichlal it's not a dioraita, but even according to those who hold it's not a dioraita, it's learned out from very strong smichyut on psukim, where it's mashma, mokom, defining a mokom, a person not to go off from his mokom. I understand that we want to treat very seriously. That is an interesting approach. As Rashi learns, even if you hold that chumim or not, you're right, the fact that you have an esmachna, in other words, your masmich, something on a posik, gives it a different status, and we need to be more machna. We've spoken in the past, the Shita of the Ritva, another Rishoni, who learned that an esmachna is actually a true remez, not a mnemonic. Of course, it's clear that that's not always the case. There's different types of esmachos. But where asmechil rabbanan akra, there's a greater chumrah. So if we're talking about an Erev Chumim, that is something that we treat with a great deal of chumrah. Machenke, when it comes to an Erev Chatzeros, I mean, that's a little bit crazy. We decided that we're going to create a new rishus, which is the equivalent of taking out from rishus. You know, you're taking out of your yard, for God's sake. The only thing is, there's other people there. So since there's other people using it, so it has elements in it that someone might confuse with the Rishos HaRabim because it's more public property. Okay, I mean, that's based on nothing, really. Based on a very extreme harchoka from the ideas of Tilton on Shabbos. So over there, we're not going to be so makbid. If it's an Erev Chatzeros, if it's still a safek, so maybe it's daytime, maybe it's nighttime. Over there, we will allow you to go ahead and to make an Erev Chatzeros. Yomar Rava. Furthermore, said Rava, if two people would tell you, Omer Lo Shnai, Seva Arev Alinu, go out, please, and make an Erev for us. So then, to one of them, it was pretty late. He got to a place to make the Erev. This is assuming that we're learning, we're talking about Erev Techumim over here, which is Rashi and the Rambam's approach. So, Le'achad Irev Alav Mida Odyon, Le'achad Irev Alav Ben Hashmashot. So, one of these people, he had a chance to put the Erev down while it was still daytime. But the other one, he only put it down while it was already Ben Hashmashot. And another curious thing that happened is that the first one that he managed to put down, Miva Odyom, a little doggy came along and ate up the Erev right after he put it down, but by then it was already Ben Hashmashot. Whereas for the second guy, where he put it down, the doggy was already smart enough to follow him around, he got to the second Erev only when it was definitely lilac. Okay? So now, what's the status of these two Erevs? Eshir Evel Ben Hashmashot. Interestingly enough, Shnehem Kanu Eruv? That doesn't make any sense. Both of them have a kosher Eruv, even though somebody, I mean, Mavanachach, Ben Hashmashot Yamam. I understand. If you hold that Ben Hashmashot is a din of a daytime. Okay, so then the second one is a classically kosher Erev. You put the Erev down in the day. The Erev was eaten up at night, but at the time of Chalot Shabbat, his Makom Shmitah had been defined, and that's all that counts. You know, the Erev doesn't have to be extended the entire Shabbat. So then the second guy should be Kona, but the first guy, his Erev was still eaten up in the daytime, because the dog got to it Ben Hashmashot, which you're claiming is Yom. And if you hold, in the Kamalolikne. And if you hold, Ben Hashmashot Laila, you hold that it has a din of night, so then only the first man was Kona his Erev, because his Erev was put down while it was day. The dog got to Ben Hashmashot, which is night, and the second guy, forget about him, he put down his Erev in the middle of the night, basically, because it was Ben Hashmashot. So then the Batra Lo Likne. After all, the second guy now is at night. Answers the Gemara. That's the whole point, you see. Ben Hashmashot is a suffix. And it's a suffix Rabbanan. So a suffix Rabbanan, the whole idea over here is the Erev is a Rabbanan. So a suffix Rabbanan is a Kula. Therefore, we rely on both studies. To say that it's Yom vis-a-vis the person who had his Erev put down by Yom, to say that it's Laila vis-a-vis the guy whose dog ate it by Laila, and that way you have the best of both worlds because you have the suffix Rabbanan anyway. So we make them.
Even though it's a Rabbanan that's within a smack there.
Correct. We don't change the suffix Rabbanan. The only question is whether we make it a Churma to us in doing it. That's a separate thing, not to be confused with the sacred Rabbanan about what has been achieved.
Makes it a stronger Rabbanan, like. Makes it a stronger Rabbanan.
That's what Scott is pointing out, and we have to be mechalic in our minds between these two issues. Svekat Rabbanan Lekula is said about every Svekat Rabbanan. It's a question about a chalot, how we define the status of a thing. The question of whether something is mutter or aser, whether we aser that even in a time of the day, which is a suffix when the equivalent of the oraita would be aser, there we can make a difference between a drabbanan that we view as a true extension of a oraita. So we're gozer it not to do it Ben Hashmashot. It's not because of the suffix Rabbanan.
Can both these fellows walk together? It's a part of the sasra.
They better not ask the same gentleman, huh? But it's two unrelated cases, basically. It's because we have to define that situation for the two people. But over here, it's a general halacha. Okay, that's a Ben Hashmashot. Okay. Omar Rava, I shouldn't say V'Omar, because this is unrelated to the previous piece. Omar Rava, it seems that the Mishnah is saying that you can be tonim et achamim even if you are Ben Hashmashot, but certainly not Mishach HaShecha. What in the world is wrong? We're just insulating something. I mean, I'm not cooking or anything. So it's clear from the Mishnah that ain tel nim b'davar she'ain mosif hevel. You're not allowed to just insulate something, even though no heat is being added. Why do they say that? Mipnei ma'amru ain tel nim b'davar she'ain mosif hevel mishach hashechach. The Mishnah after Ben Hashmashot it's awesome. Well, that's because gezera shema yartiach. That is a gezera because of bishul. So we're afraid. Look, I mean, you're going to put it in now. It's already night. Maybe it's got cold. So you're about to put your cholent now under wraps. And you see it cooled off. Hard to resist not putting it back on the fire a little bit, maybe cooking it. So then you'll now be over on bishul. Now this is a big problem, because assuming that what it is that you cooked was already cooked, then there's no iser of bishul. There's ain't bishul achar bishul. If there ain't bishul achar bishul, so when we make it clear, maybe you'll come to bimabash or something which isn't us to bimabash. What's the problem? You cook it. What's wrong? It's already cooked. From here comes the famous question about whether we say ein bishul achar bishul on liquids. The Rosh's conclusion from this is that must be referred, since what's the meaning of ein bishul achar bishul? And here's where we're getting into now this sugyot of bishul. Again, we're at the stage of the segue between Bamei Madlikim and Kiva, which is all about bishul. We're now going to get into the issues of bishul. So we might as well bite right in. And recognize that the idea of ein bishul achar bishul means that bishul provides us with an actual change, a measurable change in the substance. Once that change has occurred, there's no point in redoing it other than heating it up. Where does the Torah say something heated? That you're not supposed to heat something. There's no law against heating. So therefore says, aha, but if it comes to a liquid, say you're cooking up coffee. Now the coffee is completely chilled. Are you going to tell me that the consequences of the original heating of the water are noticeable in the water? As the water changed, there's a change in H2O once it's heated. It's not cool. So there you can't say ein bishul achar bishul, because there's no noticeable permanent impact on the status of the water. So we've got a potato. Once you've got a cooked potato, you've got a cooked potato. It doesn't get uncooked when it cools. But when it comes to water, as anybody who is interested in having a good coffee knows, having once boiled that water, it don't help. You've got to boil it again when you want to make your coffee. So therefore, the Gemara perhaps is talking about a case where you're going to be matzmin your hot water for Shabbat, find that it's cold, and now go and reheat it, and that will be in fact bishul. Others disagree with this tvi'a, and they say that, look, maybe what we're talking about over here is that you'll discover that something wasn't sufficiently cooked, and you'll go to cook it. So you may have thought that the pot was all, you'll feel it's a little bit chilly, look into it and say, oh my God, it never really cooked properly. And then you'll put it back on the fire before being matmin it. So therefore you can't conclude from here that ein bishul achar bishul, that yesh bishul achar bishul bedover lach. Anyway, ask the Gemara, wait. If you're telling me that we have a gezerah that maybe you're going to re-cook something, so what's the difference whether we're talking about bein hashmashot or whether we're talking about in the nighttime? You've already said that we don't allow you, bein hashmashot, to do something which has a serious connection to your dioraita, correct? Now, cooking is a serious dioraita. So by your standards, we shouldn't allow this to be done, even bein hashmashot. And yet you said only mishakashecha. Now that you've turned the problem of hatmana means to put something under something else for purposes of insulation or worse, as we'll see. So now that you're telling me that hatmana is a gezera v'riticha, so you're telling me that hatmana is a chomor gezera. Because it borders on a dioraita. You've already said a gezera bordering on a dioraita is not allowed, according to this Mishnah, bein hashmashot. So now why does the Mishnah say that during bein hashmashot you are allowed to be matmin? Says Rabbi, that's a good question. However, the answer has nothing to do about the status of the gezera. The answer has to do with common logistics. Stam kederot, rotzvote. When it comes to bein hashmashot, usually your pots are hot. That's when your pots are cooking. So now you're coming to transfer them to the area where they're going to be insulated. At that moment, they're hot. What will have to make it there? Maybe they'll be cold. If you're coming sometime after that, who knows? Well, when are you coming? Midnight. When are you coming? So at that point, obviously, your pots aren't cooking anymore. You think you're cooking Erev Shabbos? Maybe they cooled off, and now you'll go to heat them. There, you've got a problem. But the problem of Shema Yartia doesn't make sense. Why should we make it there on something that's not been imsa? So stam kederot rotchoti. At the point of im chashecha, pots are usually hot. The Yomar Rava. The Yomar Rava. Mitnei ma amru ein tonim bedavar hamosif hever hafil mi bod yom. That's an interesting thing. We're going to see later on in the Mishnah that even though we're matir hatmana over here, it's only in a davasha eino mosif hevel. Let's get our terminology correct. You know, if we're talking about insulation, stam insulation is not mosif heat. It insulates, keeps what's there hot. So if you're talking about now putting something under cloth to keep it warm, or cotton, as an example around here, cotton balls, and you wrap it up to keep it nice and warm. It's good insulator, a lot of air traps in there. So that's eino mosif hevel. But then there's also hatmana in something that would be mosif hevel. So you can put something into things that are gradually oxidizing. You put it inside of a compost or something. So it'll be heating it. Not significant heat, but it's certainly most of it. Or you might put it into after you took out all of the coals and mixed it, you were coating your stove, you took the mixture, which still has things that are gradually burning whatever oxygen is left, remets, that's called, and you'll stick your pot in there and that'll really keep it warm. So those are things that essentially are going to be mosif hevel. It's going to actually add to the heat that you had before. There, they are doing that even in the middle of the day.
What about aluminum foil?
Aluminum foil? I don't know if that's even called hatmana. It's not double.
You'd be
good. It's not mosif. But if you actually covered it, I don't know whether it's shamer. It's a good conductor. How would it be shamer heat? So Omar Le'avai. So what's the gezerah over here? Gezerah Shema Yatmin Beremet Sheish Bo Gachelet. If you're putting it in something that's mosif hevel, you may put it into something that still has a live coal. Omar Le'avai said. So what's wrong with that? So do. Who cares? I mean, you're doing it in the middle of the day. Who's it hurting? So there's a live coal. Big deal. No. Gezerah Shema Yachatzav Gefelim. What we're afraid over here is that if now Rashi learns that the case over here is, we're afraid that you will discover in checking it later on that it really needs to be hotter, and then you'll poke on it to get the heat up, because maybe indeed it wasn't completely cooked. And so there were gozer even in a case where we know that it was definitely cooked. But other Rishonim apparently have different gears here. You also, they learned Shema Yartiach. It may be that the thing itself will get so hot it'll start bubbling over, and you'll open it up to cool it down, and then you'll come to be matmin it in remez on Shabbos itself. In which case, you may come really at that point to chatiyah. So Mamela, they answered it even though it was done b'ba'od yom. Even though our principle was that milachot that do themselves are not problematic, unless it's afsha. This makes a lot of noise. That was the Shabbos clock issue. Remember, we had the mission about you can open up the water to continue watering during Shabbat. Things which are afsha milta, which are noticeable on Shabbat, it's a different issue. But that doesn't raise over here. Tana Rabbanan. Now let us get into a definition of what we mean by safek chashecha, safek ina chashecha. What exactly is this? This is a concept that we met before in the Masechet Brachot, which is called bein hashmashot. It's somewhere in between the actual disappearance of the sun and nightfall, which is defined by the Shlosha Kochavim Beinoniim. And Tosu says that the whole sugya over here in its questions is basically all around the issue of what are Shlosha Kochavim Beinoniim, because he has to know why don't we simply use that as our sinner? Gemara says in Pesachim, that's the shir. So maybe that's the question. How do we define that? It's a very loose, vague kind of definition, Shlosha Kochavim Beinoniim. So Bein HaShmashot says the Braita, Safek min hayom u min halayla. First of all, Bein HaShmashot, the air period, which is called Bein HaShmashot, may be partially from the day and partially from the night. Now who cares? That we'll see. It's also Safek kulo min hayom. It might be entirely daytime, halachically. Or Safek kulo min halayla. It might be entirely nighttime, halachically. And therefore, what we have to do is treat it l'chumra. Metilim oto l'chumra shnei yamim. And it gets the chumra of being both days. We'll see what that means. Ve'ezehu bein hashmashot. What is called bein hashmashot? From the time, mi shetishaka hakama. From the time that the sun sets. Now we'll see that we have a major, very famous machloket as to what is defined as the sun sets. And that, of course, is the Rabbi Natan question and the other Rishonim, the Shitas of the Gaonim, as it's called, which is strongly held by here in Eretz Yisrael, because the Gra did a great deal of work to prove that the Rabbi Natan Shita was wrong, and that it's the Shitat Gaonim that we rely on, which is why over here Shabbat is out so quickly after actual sunset. But in any event, from whatever we're going to define as sunset, Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, as long as the eastern horizon is red, now they're going to come out later, that the eastern horizon is actually the western horizon. This is something that the Gemara, and only the Gemara, is capable of. No, but the reason that it's referring to this is
a reflection, maybe.
No, it could have been a reflection, but what it's talking about is actually the sun setting in the west. It's a reference to the west, but it wants to bring out the way in which you need to think about the rays of the sun hitting the upper atmosphere after they're below the horizon. So that actually, even though after the immediate sunset, you have a reddening of the lower horizon, which is what we generally appreciate as sunset, that may not even be sunset, I'll leave it the right of time. That's broad daylight. And what we're talking about here is where the sun is sufficiently beneath the horizon that the rays of the sun bounce off of the upper atmosphere back down to you, but are not at an angle, because they're being blocked by the curvature of the earth, they're not at an angle to hit the lower atmosphere. So therefore what happens is that it starts to turn dark towards the bottom, grayish towards the horizon, while the sky is still reflecting sunlight. So it's reddish on top and dark towards the bottom. Now there, the simon is that kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim. So as long as the entire horizon is red, now that seems to be period, in which case we're going to get a little bit confused here, because now it says, hichsif tachton, if gray, the bottom part of the horizon has turned gray, velo yichsif hayom, but the upper part is still reddish, that's called bein hashmashot, which of course is a contradiction. As you said a moment ago, bein hashmashot is when the entire horizon is red. So is this supposed to be red all as one piece? No, it's from the time that the horizon is red, even including the time in which only the upper horizon is red. but the directly cross view is already gray. That's one possibility. So it's not clear where we put the period. Where does the clause end? So the clause might end here. So Yichsif Taktor V'lo Yichsif Elyon is included in Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. So all of that would be Ben Hashpashot. Yichsif HaElyon. Now, when the upper horizon now becomes gray, V'yishvala Tachton, and now it's the same tone, color tone, as the bottom, Zeolai, Dibur Rabbi Yehuda. That's dark. Rabbi Nechemia says, look, let's measure this in concrete terms. It's the amount of time, Kadesh Yalech Adam, Mishati Shakach, Alach Hatzimil, as long as it takes to walk, a half a meal, and a meal is generally assumed to be 18 minutes. So this would be 9 minutes from the time of Shkia. From that time, it's Ben Hashmashot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, nah, Ben Hashmashot, Kerav Ayin, actually. Zenich Las Vizayot say. The period of Ben Hashmashot is not a long period in which it's a Suffolk, Ben Hayom, Suffolk, Ben Halayla. There is not a gradual Suffolk. There is a moment. And there you have, it's either Yom or Laila, Zenich Las Vizayot say. The Iev Shalom Odalav. We don't know precisely when this is. But there is one point at which that's true. It's not a long time the way you have it. Now, oh my mind, let's get this straight. I understand when you say it's a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. When you say it's a Suffolk partially Yom and Suffolk partially Laila, what exactly are the implications of that? When you say Matilin Atolachor Meshne Yamin, therefore we call it 2 days. 2 days insofar as what? L'mayil Kata. Omer Ibn Ibrahim Yoshua. No, it's very simple. L'inyan Tuma. As we've already had many times before, the question of Re'iyah of Zivot is what gets us into this problem. Because where you have a male Zav as opposed to a female, you have a new halacha, which is that it's possible to be cut. First of all, let's get the halacha straight. The first three of Zivot gives them a male the same din as a Valkyrie. Even though he isn't a Valkyrie, but we treat him with the same tomb as a Valkyrie. The second Re'iyah of Zivot turns him into a Zav who needs 7 days of Taira, the same as a female who would have had 3 Re'iyot of Ziva, but is not Mechayivim in a Korban. 3 Re'iyot are Mechayivim in a Korban. So that's the first difference between himself and a female. The other difference is that when it comes to the female, it's the day that counts, not the Re'iyot. It's the concept of a Re'iyot. You have a day, this day was Tomei, 3 days of Tumah Shalavet Nidata, that's a Zavah Gedolah. But not 3 Re'iyot, no matter how many separate Re'iyot there would be on a particular day, really wouldn't make any difference. When it comes to a male, however, both are significant. The Re'iyah and the day. So that if, let's say, there are 2 separate Re'iyot in one day, so he already becomes a Zav in his tummy for 7 days. What's more, if there's a single Re'iyah that is spread over 2 days, and that's where we get into this problem, that is considered to be a Re'iyah of 2 days, even though it's 1 Re'iyah. It's the equivalent of a woman who would have had 2 days of Tuma. And therefore, it would also be considered to be a Zav who is Chomur. So here is where we get into our case of a Chumrah of 2 days. Because what happens over here is, Kiditznan, as the Mishnah tells us, Ra'ashne Yamim Bein HaShemashot. This person had a Riyah of 2 days, 2 consecutive days, that were Bein HaShemashot. So now, he is completely confused as to his status. Because assuming that the first Re'iyah, let's assume now that there was, the way Tosis explains it, which clearly is the Tosis really explains, and other Rishonim, that Rashi certainly doesn't mean anything differently, even though he sounds as if he does. Let's assume that what we're talking about is someone who had a Re'iyah sometime during Bein HaShemashot that extended for a few moments, and not at the same time, on 2 consecutive days. Now, we're not sure whether that Re'iyah, let's say the first day might have been a Re'iyah in the daytime, because it was Bein HaShemashot, perhaps it was during the period of Bein HaShemashot, which was day. So let's say his first Re'iyah, therefore, was on Shabbos, even though it was Mitzray Shabbos, but maybe it was on the daytime of Mitzray Shabbos. So it was still Shabbos. His second Re'iyah was Sunday night. Maybe it was on the latter part of Sunday, according to Rashi, Sunday. There is a sheet in the Tosis that says Monday, but there's a lot of questions on it. Sunday night. Saturday night, Sunday night. He sees now Sunday night. Perhaps in the...
Monday.
Oh, you meant it was Monday. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Monday night. There's a sheet of Monday night. So he sees now on Sunday. Perhaps it's already Monday. If it's already Monday, then he can't be a Zav because there was a day in between. It needs to be consecutive, the same way it needs to be by a Zav. So he may not be Tomei at all as a Zav. He may just be a Balkari. Now, on the other hand, this might have been 2 Re'iyos, In which case, suppose the first one might have been indeed on Shabbat, the second one on Sunday, or the first one might have been late on Shabbat and Sunday, the second one later would have been Monday. Or, so that would make him a Zav now of Al-Shtei Re'iyot. He wouldn't be Chayav a Korban, but he would be Tamei for 7 days. The worst possible scenario is that this Re'iyah extended over day and night, was thereby separated into two separate days, and that gives him the same din as two separate Re'iyahs. And then the next one was the same day as the second one on the day before, and therefore is a third Re'iyah. Or, of course, it would be the other way. It's the first one was one, the second one was two. But there's plenty of options over here to have him be a Zav Bal Shalosh Re'iyah, so now I have to bring a carbon. So all three possibilities are created by the fact that it's Suffolk partially min hayom and partially min halayla. Therefore, we have to give it the chomer of shnei yamim. And that's what the Gemara, well, that's what the Mishnah actually was referring to, says the Gemara. So therefore, shnei yamim bein hashmashot. You have both the suffix of tuma of 7 days and the suffix of korban. Ra'a yom echad bein hashmashot. So then you have at least the suffix of tuma because it could have been two re'iyos and then he may be tameh for 7 days. Fine. Now, getting back to the description of Ben HaShemashot, you just contradicted yourself. Agufa Kasha. You start off by saying, Ezel Ben HaShemashot, what defines Ben HaShemashot? From the time of Shkiat HaChama, as long as the Pnei Mizrach or Ma'adimim. So as long as it's red on the horizon, and only so long as it's red on the horizon, is what it sounds like, is it considered to be the Ben HaShemashot? Mashma, that if it had already reached a stage where the lower part of the atmosphere was darkened, even though it was still reddish on top, lo yetzif hayom, that would already be called laila, because you said that that's no longer bein hashmashot. And then you turn way around and you say, v'odatana, hiyetzif hatachton v'lo yetzif hayom bein hashmashot. You say it's considered to be bein hashmashot if only the bottom part of the atmosphere is now grayish. And explain that. Omar Rabba Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. These two, you put the period in the wrong place. That's how you got mixed up. There's no period there. We're talking about the entire period. So you go from the time of it's bright and red, where the sun is setting, and it's already turned dark on the lower part, but it's still bright and red on top. All of that is Bein HaShemashot. That's how to read it. So, very much as opposed to the blink of an eye. So that's the Krochutani, Ezu Bein HaShemashot. Including even Ichsif HaTachtam, Vlo Ichsif HaYom, that too. Nami Bein HaShemashot, that too is Bein HaShemashot. Only when Ichsif HaYom V'Yishva HaTachtam, when the upper part of the atmosphere has turned as gray as the bottom, then you're at night. That's one approach. Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yonam Shmuel. Whereas Rav Yosef quoted Rav Yonam Shmuel differently than the way Rabbah quoted Rav Yonam Shmuel. And he said, Achi Katani. You have to insert a word over there. The time of the Bein HaShemashot Safek is from the time of Yichsif. Yichsif takton velo Yichsif Oyom begins Bein HaShemashot. You're meant to understand that's your starting point. That's still daytime. We're talking about now after Shkia. It's bright and red out there on the horizon. That's day. When do you start worrying about Bein HaShemashot? That's the beginning of Bein HaShemashot. Now, when you come to the point, that's considered to be Laila. Now, there's not a big difference of time in between here, because the truth is, the two shitot over here are actually expressed in the time factor, as opposed to the astronomical factor, and we measure time in a very modern way. We measure time by distance. Except light years are a little hard to keep track of when you're dealing with Bein HaShemashot, especially if you don't have the right instruments. So we'll talk about walking time. So how many people years? The amount that a person will walk in a year, right? Or people minutes. So we measure our time in people minutes. Okay, so how, therefore, what is the time? Says Rav Yonam Ben Shmuel, and this is Rabba's quote, Shlosha chalkei meal, three parts of a meal. Now, three parts of a meal is awfully vague. How big are the parts? So, when you say chalkei meal, what exactly are you referring to? My shlosha chalkei meal. I mean, do you mean three halves of a meal? You could have just said a meal and a half. I mean, why say it in this funny way? So, name a meal of mechza. Do you mean three thirds of a meal? Well, that's an easy way to say that. I mean, you could have just said a meal. Ella Tzolate Riva Eimila. The only thing you could be referring to that makes sense is the next step up. In other words, three parts where you might have one part still to be mashlim. So it would mean three quarters of a meal. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, again, this is the Shita Tama, two quotes. Rabbi Yosef quotes Rabbi Yodama Shmuel as saying, it's shnei chalkei meal. It means two parts of a meal. Now, again, what are the parts in this case? My shnei chalkei meal. So what's interesting over here, the reason we're doing this is because they're not referring to a given chelek. Because we don't have given chalakim. Which means that the only way to compare these two shitot would be to find the common denominator of the two fractions. So we have to first establish what the fraction is. So the denominator of Rava's quote is four. What's the denominator now of Rabbi Yosef's quote? Shnei chalkei meal. So do you mean shnei chalkei meal? What do you mean? Two parts. I mean, are the parts here half meal parts? So then saying two half meal parts, I mean, it'd be a lot easier just to say a meal. A meal? Ella, what you're referring to is what? Two of the same units, using the same denominator. Two-fourths of a meal. That's then say half of a meal. So lema chatzi meal. Clearly, therefore, you're referring to two-thirds of a meal. Which means that we have two separate denominators here. My benayah, the difference in the shear between Rabbi Yosef's quote and Rava's quote, is the common denominator, which is 12. So one is 8-12s and one is 9-12s, right? Okay, so if that's the case, ika benayah, palga bedanka, what we have left is a half of a sixth. The sixth was a common fraction. To say a 12th is a little bit complicated in Aramaic. So a half of a sixth, essentially, is what's left, which is 1/12, which is the difference between 8/12 and 9/12. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, let's just see how this reflects. So you're saying there's this slight difference. The slight difference between.
Does that difference
in price?
What are you talking about?
That's what we were talking about.
Slight difference between waking and sleeping.
The slight difference. For some people. I mean, some people, it makes really no difference at all. So we have a slight difference here between the two shitot, and it's reflected in the Braita in terms of the amount of time that we need to include that first period between the time that it's read and changing to gray on the bottom and red on top, is the difference of 1/12 of a meal, which would be about 1.5 minutes. So the difference between the two shitot is boils down to 1.5 minutes. So in terms of man minutes, that's what we're talking about over here.
From the reddening till the grain,
is this small difference? Is the danka of a meal. Now, this leads to the question. First of all, the question just raised, which actually was Marami's to earlier, what happened to the shear of the Shlosha Kol Chavim? I mean, why don't we just look? And here, Tosfos's approach is that is the question. Because if you say Shlosha Kol Chavim Beinoniim, and the Lashon of the Gemara is Lo Kol Chavim Gedolim Anirim Banyom, Velo Kol Chavim Aktarim Anirim Rak Balayla, so then basically it's a tautology. Because I mean, you can't use Kol Chavim that are seen in the day to define what the day is, because I don't know what Kol Chavim that are seen in the day mean. So we need to define now what we're talking about by kochavim beinoniim. So we're giving these other measurements to define basically what those shlosha kochavim are. So there would be a slight difference over here in the various shitot about exactly what magnitude star you need to be able to see in a dark sky, besides which, of course, we don't have dark skies, so to us it's rather useless. We can't see stars. But assuming that you have a dark sky, we could give a particular magnitude for what star needs to be visible to the naked eye, in which point, obviously, it's a spread. So it's gradually becoming visible. And that would be the shear. But what is that shear given in other measurements? So we give you, first of all, ways to check this astronomically. Now, again, the astronomical needs to be reduced, in our terms, to a certain ideal. Because clearly it makes a difference whether the atmosphere has a lot of particulate, has there been a volcano lately, is it cloudy today, and so on. We're talking about a type of ideal condition, which now we translate, and here in the translation again we suffer, because that's where we get all these different shitot from. How many degrees beneath the horizon is the sun to cause this particular approach, and what do you mean by tachton and elyon? But as we've spoken many times before, the halakha is vague by definition. Since it's speaking in terms that are earth terms, the Torah is addressed to animals, not to instruments. So the instruments that are available to animals are eyes and simple brains, and that's what you use. So the terms are indeed vague, in the same way that we know we don't have to be medayek for geometry, let's say, Gemara's taught us, but Feirish, for all intents and purposes, we can round out pi to 3, you know, or we can round out the square root of 2 to 1.4, that we've already seen in the Gemara. So too, we round out, basically, ideas of time, and as the Rambam has said, the point over here is not to be medayek, not yes to be medayek, if somebody, we came to the meaning of Kriyat Shema and so on. These are not meant to be times. We talked about don't try to daven with the nates according to your watch, because that's not called davening with the nates. Daven with your sense of when the nates is. Right? So these times are a little bit spread out. When it comes to creating an actual calendar that is based on astronomical times, for Shabbos you have variations, you notice, between the various luchot, depending on how many minutes of a degree they're going to measure at this particular point which the sun is under the beneath the horizon. That indeed is a very serious problem, and part of this issue, again, by focusing between the posts, it's basically agreed that at 27 minutes after what we call Shkiat HaChaman, is the first moment that the rim of the sun has fallen completely behind the horizon. Now that, according to the Avinu Tam, is broad daylight. But to us, we refer to the Shkia. That's what's generally referred to by the Naval Observatory of Shkia. That is the time that the sun has set. There's no sun visible now from your point to the across the
upper.
Upper. Shita Tagon. That's how we view it. And now the question is, okay, now how far beneath the horizon does the sun sink before we have the Hiksiv questions appear? The big serious problem is that the same Shitot over here, clearly for Yehuda, who talks about these very, very brief shiurim, Hatzimil, Kadesh Alek Hatzimil, is the author of the Shita in Arvei Tzachim that describes in the beginning of Tzachim, of the Shita that says 4 mil. How do we get from 4 mil to Hatzimil? So that is the source of the famous Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, that there it's referring to what we call sunset, where the sun is directly beneath the horizon, and therefore still giving out a tremendous amount of light that's bouncing off of the atmosphere, and for all intents and purposes, it's broad daylight, so that those 4 mil are really the time that it takes for the sun to be nichnas ba'ovi, mizman shemesh nichnas ba'ovi harakia, is the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. That's the beginning of Shkia, when the sun has now hidden itself in the depths of the rakia, so to speak, and it's fallen well below the horizon. And there we're talking about the last part of that process is what we're referring to over here. And that gives us, of course, the 72 minutes, which is 4 mil. It's a tremendous difference. So that's the famous 72 minutes, even though 72 minutes really doesn't make any sense because it's giving a particular amount of time for an astronomical phenomena that changes every single day, obviously. Because we're talking about the amount of time that it takes for you on the surface of the earth to find the sun a certain number of degrees beneath the horizon, obviously it depends on the angle at which the sun is approaching the earth from your point of view. So that if it's summertime and wintertime, you're going to get completely different times. And so the 72 minutes is a construct which doesn't really make sense. That's one of the main reasons for the rejection of the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't work in many, many places on earth that had a significant Jewish population. There is no nighttime, according to Rabbeinu Tam. None whatsoever. So if you live in many cities in Russia, you don't have a Bein HaShemesh LeYom, you never have a Laila. What to us is a phenomenon only as you get very far north, and the sun doesn't, barely falls beneath the Rakia, is to the Rabbeinu Tam, most of the surface of the earth. And the place where you really have a Bein HaShemesh LeYom and a Laila and so on, it's really in a small area around Eretz Yisrael and a few degrees above and so on. Yeah, because what this does is it extends the penumbra's time in the morning and in the evening all the way till it takes away the night. Where's the actual night? And so it's difficult to believe that the places that are certainly considered to be Minay Yishuv should have no halachic night. It's absolutely maddening. This of course, is the when they threw the Jews out of the Pale. The common response was among the Rabbanim that this was Min HaShemayim, we shouldn't get into a Sofek of the Rabbeinu Tam and never have Shabbos, Mahalokha, and so on. So, Baruch Hashem, they kept us out of the Pale. It's indeed too pale for us.
No, not at all.
Exactly. Okay, that's our interesting signal for the day. Two deacons.
When they create the tail, get and kick them out of the
yeah.
Joseph instead half, he's referring, since you're saying three quarters underneath the same.
Right.
You don't say that. But,
because it wasn't said in conjunction.
It doesn't go to the yeah. Okay.
Okay, Lama Dalit, Mishnah. שלושה דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך בית ערב שבת עם חשיכה ישראל מרבת המדליקה סנר ספק חשיכה ספק אינו חשיכה אין מעשרים זה ודאי ואין מגבילים את הכלים ואין מדקין את הנירות אבל מעשרים את הדמי ומערבים ותומים את החמים מנוען אם אלה יום רגיל שבן לוי אומר קרוב ידעת כי שלום עליך ופקדת נביך ולא תחתה אומר רב אבא רב נאף אגב יאמר רבן שלושה דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך ביתו צורת אם הבינו בני חוטה כאחד הקפטינו בני אומר רבא שזה בריליאנט אבל אנא לא שמיע לי עד רב אבא רב נאף וקיימתי מסברה הגוף הגע שאמר שלושה דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך ביתו ערב שבת עם חשיכה that clearly says עם חשיכה and only עם חשיכה וספק חשיכה ספק אינו חשיכה לא לא רק אני ספק חשיכה ספק אינו חשיכה you could still be מערב אומר רב אמר חי אבא רשם רב לא קשה כאן בעירובי תחומים כאן בעירובי חצרות ויאמר רב אמרו לו שניים שי וערב עלינו so לאחד ירב עליו מבעוד יום ולאחד ירב עליו בין השמשות זה שירב עליו מבעוד יום נאכל לעירובו בין השמשות וזה שירב עליו בין השמשות נאכל לעירובו משחשיכה שניהם קנו עירוב מה? מה נפשך? אבן השמשות יומם עלו בין עוני בקר לקנה כמה לא לקנה אבן השמשות לילה עלו כמה לקנה בקר לא לקנה actually בין השמשות ספקו וספקת רבנן לכולה אומר רב מפני מה אמרו אין תומנים בדבר שאינו מוסיף הבל מי שחשיכה גזר השם ירתיח אומר לי הבאי אחי בין השמשות נעמי נגזר אומר לי סתם קטרות רותחות הן ויאמר רב מפני מה אמרו אין תומנים בדבר המוסיף הבל אפילו מבעוד יום גזיר השם היתמין ברמץ יש בו גחלת סעוב אומר לי הבאי ויתמין גזיר השם היחת בגחלים תן רבנו בין השמשות ספק מן היום ומן הלילה ספק כולו מן היום ספק כולו מן הלילה לרפור מתאימין אותו לחומר שני ימים ואיזהו בין השמשות מי שתשכח אמר כל זמן שפני מזרח מאדימים הכסיף התחתון ולא הכסיף העליון בין השמשות either all of the above or as we'll see just what I just said הכסיף העליון וישבל התחתון זהו לילה דבר רבי יהודה רבי נחמיה אומר כדי שיערך אדם מי שתשכח אמר חצי מיל רבי יוסי אומר בין השמשות כהרף עין זה נכנס וזה יוצא ואי אפשר לעמוד עליו אומר מה מתאימין אותו לחומש שני ימים למה יוכת אומר נבון הברי רבי ישוע לעניין טומאה כתצנן ראה שני ימים בין השמשות ספק לטומאה ולקורבן ראה יום אחד בין השמשות ספק לטומאה Now getting back to the description, on Guf HaKash, Amar Tezu Ben HaShemashot, Mi Shetishakach, Amar, Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, Mashma, that HaYichzif HaTachton V'lo Yichzif HaYon, it would already be Lailohu. V'had HaTana, Yichzif HaTachton V'lo Yichzif HaYon, Ben HaShemashot, make up your mind. Omer Rav, Omer Yir, Omer Shmuel, actually, Krof Utsni, Ezeu Ben HaShemashot, Mi Shetishakach, Amar Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, including Yichzif HaTachton even, V'lo Yichzif HaYon, Nami Ben HaShemashot. Only if it's Chiva Yon Rishvala Tachton is it Laila. Whereas Rabbi Yosef quotes Rabbi Yom Shvila saying, Hakim Tani. Mi Shetishakak Amak Oz Banch B'nei Mizrak Madri, forget it, that's still the day time. Now, let's begin B'nei Ashpashot. If Chiva Tachton Velo If Chiva Yon, there you got B'nei Ashpashot. If Chiva Yon Rishvala Tachton, that's Laila. V'yozdu Lata Amayu, Yit Ma Shiur B'nei Ashpashot B'kama, Oma Rab Om Rabbi Yom Shvila Shlosh Shekhelke Mil, meaning what? Nice Shlosh Shekhelke Mil. Even a Tlat Apalge Mil, name a Mil. And Milamak, if you're referring to Tlasa Tlilse Mila, name a Mila alone, must mean Tlasa Rive Mila. Rabbi Yosef quotes Rabbi Yoram Shmuel saying Shnei Chalke Mil, meaning, my Shnei Chalke Mil, you know, Trey Palge Mila, I'm a Mil, Ela Trey Rive Mila, I'm a Chatsi Mil, Ela Trey Tlisa Mila. Anyway, common denominator is 12. So by Binayu, Igre Nayu, 1/12 part of the Tantum.
Yeah, you said that we're talking about the Penny Mizrach, really the Western stuff.
Well, we're going to get to that.
No, we haven't gotten to it.